If you want to follow the message in your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 14. And my subject today is the cross of Christ, my glory. The cross of Christ, my glory. Now, many years ago, the hymn writer wrote these words, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round that cross sublime. When the woes of life overtake me, when hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the Lord forsake me. He gives me peace and joy." My friends, the cross is the purpose of God. It is the purpose of God. The Scripture says it pleased God to bruise him. When Peter was speaking at Pentecost to those who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, You did what God determined before to be done. Yes, you with wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory, but you carried out the decrees of God. So the cross is the purpose of God. And then the cross of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Scriptures. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So while the cross is the purpose of God, and the cross is the fulfillment of Scriptures, it is also the way of peace. "For he made peace by the blood of his cross." Our peace with God is not secured by something we've done, but Christ made peace for us. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And the cross is the only hope of forgiveness, remission of sins. For Paul wrote in Hebrews 9, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission. Without the shedding of the blood of Christ, there's no forgiveness for anyone. But we have in him forgiveness and redemption from our sins." And then the cross is the preacher's theme. Paul wrote, "We preach Christ." But not only do we preach Christ, we preach Christ and him crucified. And that's what he's saying in my text. I told you to turn to Galatians 6, 14. And this is what the apostle is saying in Galatians 6, 14. The cross is my theme. The cross is my message. The cross is my gospel. He says, "God forbid that I should glory save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." In other words, this great apostle made a clean sweep of all other grounds of boasting, all other grounds of bragging, all other reasons to glory. And he declares that the object of my delight is the cross of Jesus Christ. The only hope of my soul before God is not my works or my deeds or my religion or my heritage. The only hope of my soul before God is the cross of Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory or boast or brag or take delight in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. And the one theme of my message, as he said to the church at Corinth, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now then, the Apostle Paul might have gloried in his heritage. Many people do. They glory in their family trees. They glory in who their ancestors were. Paul was high-born religiously. He could trace his heritage right back to Abraham. He said, "I was born a Hebrew of Hebrews." He could have gloried in his heritage, but he didn't. He gloried in Christ. Paul might have gloried in his education. Many do. Paul was a recognized scholar. Once when he was on trial before the ruler of the land, this ruler from his throne, aware of this man's education, aware of this man's scholarship, said to him, Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. But Paul didn't glory in his education. He gloried in Christ. He might have gloried in his religious accomplishments. Many people do. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a man of great morality, a man of great enthusiasm, a man of great religious leadership, a man of great zeal. But he chose to glory only in Christ. Paul might have gloried in his apostleship. There were only 12. He was perhaps the chief apostle. And we do know this, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, the whole Gentile world. The message of the gospel of the grace of God came to the Gentiles through this man, the Apostle Paul. But he chose to glory in Christ. Paul might have gloried in his writings. We do know that he wrote 13 epistles of the New Testament, probably 14. He might have gloried in his work of establishing churches. He was the first missionary to travel all over the then known world. Paul might have gloried in his revelations. He had been to the third heaven. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But he said, I heard things it's not lawful to utter. I saw things and heard things and was witness to things that I can't even tell you about. Paul might have gloried in his sufferings for Christ. I'm always reading the account of someone who has suffered in prison or somewhere else, and they say they've suffered for Christ. But this man who knew God, this man who knew God, and few do, this man who knew the living God, who received his gospel directly from Christ himself, he said immediately, when God revealed his Son to me, I conferred not with flesh and blood. But this man made a clean sweep of his heritage, of his background, of his education, of his religious accomplishments, of his apostleship, of his writings and works, of his revelations, of his sufferings. He made a clean sweep as if to push them aside with his hand. And he says, I declare unto you, I glory only, and God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's my glory. That's my delight. That's my gospel. The cross of Jesus Christ, my Lord. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Now then, what is this cross in which Paul gloried? When he says, we preach Christ crucified, what's he talking about? When he says the preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness, and the preaching of the cross is to those who are saved the power and wisdom of God, what's he talking about? What is this cross? Now listen to me very carefully. He's certainly not talking about the material cross on which Christ died. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about Golgotha's hill. And he's not talking about that wooden cross that was erected on that hill, nor the two on either side of it. There's no saving power for any person in that tree. There is no efficacy and no magic in the wood cross itself. The cross of wood on which Jesus Christ was crucified is long gone, long rotted, long decayed, and long forgotten. And I'll tell you this. Now listen to me. If the actual cross of Jesus Christ could be found, say, fellas got to digging around over there and dug down deep like they've dug and found ruins of Pompeii and other old cities, and they could come up with the actual cross on which Jesus Christ died, what would you do with it? I'll tell you what the average person would do with it, the average preacher, the average religious person, the average denomination. They'd worship that cross. They'd make a symbol of worship out of it. I'll tell you this, if that cross could be found, it would have to be destroyed. It would have to be destroyed. It would have to be burned up and totally destroyed, or men would worship it. They would fall down before it like idolaters. Now, that thing happened in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 8. You say, oh, wait a minute, preacher, I'm telling you the truth. Are you familiar with the story of Moses and the brazen serpent? You remember the people were bitten with fiery serpents and they were dying, and Moses went before God and he said, Lord, the people have been under this judgment of the fiery serpents, and they've bitten them and they're dying. They need mercy. They need help. And the Lord said to Moses, make a brazen serpent in the likeness of the serpents that have bitten the people. Put it on a pole and lift it up between heaven and earth. And whosoever looketh on that brazen serpent shall live. Now that serpent was a picture of Christ. For our Lord reached back and said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you know what they did with that serpent? They took it down from the pole and saved it and made a shrine and an altar and worshiped that thing. And when Hezekiah came to power, you can read it yourself in 2 Kings 18:4, Hezekiah the king tore down the high places, destroyed the idols and all the religious symbols, and he took the serpent of brass which Moses made and ground it to powder, and he called it in the inspired word of God, a worthless piece of brass. And let me tell you something now. You listen to me carefully. If you could find the cross on which Jesus Christ was crucified 2,000 years ago and brought it into my presence, I'd tell you what it is. It's a worthless piece of wood. It can't help you, can't give you any hope, can't give you any powers, can't save your soul. It's Christ that saves and not the block of wood. I'm telling you that. And Paul didn't glory in that material cross. He didn't glory in that old rugged cross. He gloried in the Christ of the cross. We're not worshiping wood. We're worshiping the Lord, the living sovereign Lord. Now you need to learn that. It's so easy, so natural, so Adamic to be an idolater. And that's Satan's trickery, and that's his subtlety, and that's his craftiness today. And Paul's not talking about these symbolic crosses on church steeples. You see them everywhere. I was driving down the highway just a few days ago in West Virginia, and I saw three crosses on a hill. I looked up there, I said, who put that there, and why did he put it there, and what's it there for? It has no saving power. It has no redeeming power. These crosses on church steeples and hillsides and around people's necks is superstition, and you might as well wear a rabbit's foot. Now, here's one preacher that'll tell you the truth, that you might as well wear a rabbit's foot around your neck as to wear a cross around your neck, because the power to save is not in a symbol, it's in a person. It's in the living God. And we laugh about people who break mirrors and throw salt over their shoulder and put horseshoes on the barn and talk about walking under a ladder or all these different things. When you wear that religious symbol, you're as superstitious and idolatrous as those people who carry rabbit's foot. And you're not worshiping a person, you're worshiping a symbol. And there's a world-renowned preacher, I saw him on television just moments ago, who carries a large cross made out of 4x4 wood. It's about 8 feet long and 4 feet wide, and he carries that thing with him all over the world. And this is idolatry. And people gather around that cross, and they hold to that cross and hold to that man. And it's Satan's subtlety and craftiness. It's paganism. It's idolatry. I wish people could see that. Paul is not giving glory to symbols and signs and superstition. He gloried in Christ who died on the cross. One hymn writer wrote these words years ago, let others who will praise the cross of the Christ. The Christ of the cross is my theme. While we must cherish his death on the cross, it's the Christ of the cross that redeems. The cross has no saving power. It's just like the wine and the bread at the Lord's table. This is a memorial supper. It's a symbol. It's a picture of Christ. Christ is the one who saved. In a word or two, when Paul said this, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, You know what he's referring to? Not that block of wood, and not those symbols we have around everywhere, and not these superstitious crucifixes. He's talking about this. Now listen to me. He refers to the great atonement that Christ accomplished on that cross. God said in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood, not in the wood, not in the symbol, in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. You know what the word atonement means? Atonement. You know what it means to atone for something, make it right. Well, atonement is three words, at-one-ment. We're at-one-ment with God. Where is that at-one-ment, that atonement? It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. In Christ, we're one with God, in His person and in His work. All right, secondly, when Paul says that God forbid that I should go save in the cross of Christ, he's referring to reconciliation. You know what reconciliation is, to be reconciled? Well, we were reconciled to God by Christ's death on the cross. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Do you know that God is at war with sin? God is at war with evil men? That there's a warfare between heaven and earth? Why did God talk about peace on earth and goodwill toward men? Not among men, toward men. There's a warfare between the holiness of heaven and the horrible evil of earth. And in Christ, God reconciled or made peace with men. Therefore, being justified by Christ, we have peace with God. God was in Christ reconciling enemies to Himself. You don't reconcile friends. People talk about God's in love with the world and God's the friend of the world and the world's a friend of God. Then why'd Christ die? Why did God have to reconcile the world to Himself? If the world's so in love with God and God's so in love with the world, why'd He have to reconcile it? You don't reconcile friends. You reconcile enemies. People who are separated, people who are apart, people who are at war are reconciled. And that's what the cross of Christ did. It reconciled God to sinners. Then he refers to substitution. Isaiah 53:4-6 says this, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed. My friends, if you want to know the gospel, it's the gospel of substitution. Christ took our place on the tree. He died in our stead. It is over and it's done. The debt is paid. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He Himself, by Himself, purged it white as snow. There's no reason to go back to the place of condemnation. You won't find a prisoner visiting the jail where he served his term. And there's no need for me to go back to the place of condemnation because there is no condemnation now in Jesus Christ, my Lord. And Paul refers to the sin offering which enabled God to be just and justified. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. He's talking about a sin offering. Romans 3:26 says this, In the death of Christ, God has declared His holiness. In the death of Christ, God has declared His righteousness. In the death of Christ, God has declared His justice. And by the death of our substitute, the holiness and righteousness and justice of God is so honored and so satisfied that Almighty God, because Christ died on the cross, can now be both just and justified. He said, I'm a just God and a Savior. And by one offering, Paul wrote in Hebrews, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Paul didn't glory in a material cross. Paul didn't glory in a superstitious symbol. Paul gloried in a glorious person and the work of that person and the redemption that person accomplished who died on that cross. The cross is the place of death, and yet from it comes eternal life. The cross is an emblem of shame, yet from it God is glorified. The cross condemns, yet by Him we're pardoned. The cross is over. It is done. It is finished. God let it fall on the ground and decay. Christ lives, and He lives forever. And I want you to hear me. You may never hear me again, but you hear me now. We do not worship Mary, whose body God used to bear Christ into the world as an infant. We do not worship at the cradle where He lay. We do not worship the land in which He lived, nor do we call it a holy land. It's no more holy than Huntington, West Virginia. We do not worship the cross of wood on which He died. We do not worship the tomb in which He lay. This is idolatry. This is paganism, and not one step ahead of the idolaters who dance around the fire and worship a golden calf. We worship the eternal, almighty, living God who came to this earth in the person of His Son and tabernacled among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The exact image of God's person and the brightness of His glory. We worship Him. We praise Him. We love Him. We serve Him for His redeeming work on that cross of Calvary. And that's what Paul's saying. God forbid, God deliver me from ever glorying or boasting or worshiping or taking delight in anything. I don't care what it is. However religious it is, and however pretty it is, and however appealing it is, anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, the preaching of the cross is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The preaching of the cross is the preaching of the free and full justification accomplished by Jesus Christ. And this gospel is not just the gospel of Christ on a cross. This gospel is the gospel of His eternality. If He's not very God of very God, it didn't do Him any good to die on a cross. You see what I'm saying? His eternality is as important as His suffering, because we're redeemed not just by the suffering, but by Him who suffered. And having an infinite character and an infinite name, He's able to accomplish infinite glory. You see, the gospel is the gospel not only of His eternality, but it's the gospel of His incarnation. He had to become a man to die. God can't die. The gospel is the gospel of His holy life. We needed a righteousness as well as a justifier. The gospel is the gospel of His sacrificial death. The gospel is the gospel of His resurrection. If Christ be not raised, you're yet in your sins. I see crucifixes on walls, you know, and they got Christ still hanging on the cross. Hey, wait a minute. If He's still hanging on that cross, He's not my Savior. He's not my Savior. If He's still hanging on the cross, He didn't save anybody. He's got to be raised. By His resurrection, the Father is saying, I accept what He did. I accept who He is. The gospel, you see, is not only the gospel of His death, but of His resurrection. And not only of His resurrection, but of His exaltation. We've got to have a mediator, and that mediator's got to be not in a place made with hands, but in heaven itself, at the right hand of the majesty in glory. And the gospel is the gospel of His return. He's coming back. He said, I go away, but I'll come again and receive you unto myself. If He doesn't come again, I'll never come forth from the tomb. Not one single part of this gospel can do without the other. It's a complete gospel. It's not just the gospel of a block of wood. It's the gospel of an eternal incarnate God, of a holy righteous life, of a sacrificial death, of a glorious resurrection, of a great exaltation, of a complete sufficient intercession, and of a glorious return. And I know the reaction of the world, the religious world, and I'm talking to the religious world. Not the whole world is religious today. But you know the reaction of the religious world to what I've been preaching?
foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them who perish foolishness. That's sheer nonsense, a pack of foolishness. But what is it to those who believe? The reaction of those who believe is this: the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power and wisdom of God. And in that gospel, I see the full revelation of the saving mercies and grace of God. The fulfillment of all the scriptural sacrifices, priesthood, tabernacle, temple, atonement, and all things. I see it. And Paul is saying, your shame is my glory. Paul is saying, your foolishness is my wisdom. Paul is saying, your weakness is my power. Paul is saying, your despair is my hope. Well, in the death of Christ, everything's brought to light. The attitude and spirit of all men is revealed. Everyone speaks at the cross. Man speaks. We'll not have this man reign over us. Crucify him. You say, we don't hate God. The cross tells another story. Well, this world doesn't hate God. Stand at the cross. You say they've got no right to judge. I'm not judging. The cross is judging. And the death of Christ draws away the mask of pretended religion and pretended love for God and pretended holiness. For they cried when they gathered themselves together. Man got his hands on Almighty God one time in all the history of the universe. Man got his hands on God, and he nailed him to a cross. At the cross, the law of God speaks, the justice of God speaks. Do you think you know something about the holiness of God's law? Go to the cross, and you'll see there the holiness of God. The cross tells us of the mercy and love of God in giving his Son to redeem sinners. Now, if you want this message on a cassette tape, The Cross of Christ, My Glory, along with a message I'll bring next week, you write to me and send $2, and we'll mail it to you. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.